This preview of the New York Times front page is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the easy-to-use in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of mobile phones and MP3 players and features audible turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
On Wednesday's front page, low prices and low mortgage rates can't stop the drop in home sales. Sales of existing houses fell 25% last month. New York is getting nearly $700 billion in federal race to the top education money. And a follow-up on the salmonella outbreak in eggs in this country, and a look at what egg producers in Great Britain did to stop the same problem. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says U.S. home sales were the lowest in more than a decade last month. The National Association of Realtors said housing sales plunged 25.5% from July of last year. That has experts trying to figure how much real estate will drag down other parts of the recovery. Economist Joel Naroff says housing could hold growth in the second half of the year to less than 1%. He says it won't be a double-dip recession, but it might feel like it. Wednesday's front page looks at those 33 miners in Chile trapped half a mile underground. For 17 days, they lived on what was supposed to be 2 days' worth of emergency rations. It's probably going to take 4 months to dig a hole wide enough to get them out. No one has told them it's going to take that long. Officials don't want to break their spirits. President Sebastian Piñera has fired several high-ranking mining officials. He's also ordered a review of worker safety. New York is one of 9 states that won Race to the Top education grants. New York is getting nearly $700 billion. That's a victory for state education officials as well as New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He had pushed Albany lawmakers to approve education reforms that helped clinch the money. Nationally, the winners in this second round of Race to the Top are dividing some $3.4 billion. Education Secretary Arne Duncan made the final choices after judges reviewed 36 states' proposals. But Duncan says everyone is a winner.
The kinds of changes we're seeing across the country, I think, are transformational for decades. States raise standards, stop dumbing them down, stop lying to children. Particularly for disadvantaged children, this is so hugely, hugely important. This is a game changer. As states figure out how to better use data systems so students don't get lost along their education trajectory, as we get better teachers, better principals into tough schools, disadvantaged communities where too often talent is fled. And so we think the kinds of reforms that states are putting in place, the kinds of comprehensive strategies they're working on, will change the face of education in this country and a tremendous impact, tremendous dividends for the country in terms of maintaining our health and vitality of our nation's economy.
When the Obama administration called a halt to virtually all drilling in the Gulf of Mexico after the Deepwater Horizon explosion in April, oil executives and local officials said the losses would include thousands of jobs and billions in lost revenue. Wednesday's Times says it hasn't been nearly that bad. It turns out that oil companies took a wait-and-see approach on spending cuts and layoffs. So far, unemployment claims have been in the hundreds, not the thousands. Also on Wednesday's page, one, a follow-up on the salmonella outbreak in eggs in this country. Farmers in Great Britain started vaccinating hens against salmonella some years ago. That all but wiped out the health threat. In this country, the FDA imposed new egg safety rules a few months ago, but did not require vaccination. So where does that leave consumers? Here's Times reporter William Newman.
I think the takeaway is that you have to be careful if you're going to eat eggs or other sorts of food like ground beef. You really need to be careful to cook it well and prepare it carefully. I think the takeaway for a lot of people should be that what the government is doing to regulate and keep track of and monitor the food system needs to be stepped up.
Times reporter William Newman. At West Point, one cadet's resignation has turned the spotlight on gay culture there. It exists in the shadows because of the military's don't ask, don't tell policy. Gay cadets say the hiding begins on day one at West Point. New cadets have to sign a document acknowledging that revealing one's homosexuality can lead to being discharged. The cadet who resigned was Catherine Miller. She had blogged anonymously about being a lesbian. She's now transferring to Yale. We'll go inside Wednesday's Times after this.
This preview of the New York Times front page is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. All hands-free, so you can keep your hands on the wheel and eyes on the road. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Wednesday's Times, at least 33 people were killed in an attack on a hotel in Somalia. Insurgents disguised as police officers stormed the hotel and killed six lawmakers. Times reporter Jeffrey Gettleman describes what happened.
They burst in, they shot a number of people, and then a couple of the attackers were apparently suicide bombers, and they blew themselves up. And what's important about this is that it happened in a part of Mogadishu, the capital of Somalia, that was known to be one of the safer parts of Somalia. There are worries that Somalia could become a sanctuary for Al-Qaeda, that as pressure is put on Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan, some of its leadership could migrate to Somalia. And there's a lot of different factions that operate there, which would make it difficult for anybody, including a terrorist organization, to work there.
Times reporter Jeffrey Gettleman in Nairobi. Investigators from the American-led forces in Afghanistan went to a volatile corner of Baghlan province after local officials said a nighttime raid by NATO commandos left eight civilians dead. Details are sketchy, but a local governor said the dead included two women and a child. 12 others were wounded. The U.S. met the August 31st troop target in Iraq a week early. The American military says the number of troops in Iraq has dropped below 50,000. General Ray Odierno says 49,700 soldiers remain. He says roughly that number will stay through next summer. Wednesday's Business Day section says all those digital devices can lead to brain fatigue. Multitaskers juggle their BlackBerries and iPods and keep an eye on their flat-screen TVs. Sounds like just another day at the gym. But scientists say allowing the brain to have downtime can improve learning and memory. A little time off can also help the brain's ability to come up with new ideas. AARP says retail prices for drugs are rising. It tracked prices of the 217 products most used by older people. The prices climbed an average of 8.3% last year. AARP says that was the largest increase in years. It also says that since 2005, prices for the most popular brand-name drugs have surged 41.5%. That's three times the increase in the Consumer Price Index in the same period. AARP says it's time for action on holding down prices. Thursday's Times says 19th-century artist Charles Days is finally getting a museum show. The Denver Art Museum has 39 Dayses on display. Scholars are hunting for 50 more. Days is the kind of artist who fuels the fantasies of people watching Antiques Roadshow. He makes you want to go take another look at those musty old paintings at Grandma's. Carol Clark, who assembled the show in Denver, found one Days in a fishing cabin in Nova Scotia. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.